days, as I was saying, I was away overseas, and I can tell you what, I thought vaping was just something that maybe New Zealand young people did. But what I saw overseas was a lot of older people vaping. But in New Zealand, there's no doubt about it. The health coalition believes that we're doing our mokopuna a disservice by continuing to sell vape products. So I'm talking this evening now to Catherine Manning, who's going to tell us about this, because I think there's been a call to ban the sale of vaping products so that we can have vape, so New Zealand can be vape-free for our kids. And I can tell you that is something that I so, so support. Catherine, good evening. Welcome to Radio Wātea.
Good evening, Fire. How are you?
Tino Pai, very well indeed, thank you. Look, this is something that I don't know why, because I understood, Catherine, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I understood a few years ago vaping was going to be the answer to try and reduce smoking in young people, or actually smoking in New Zealand for smokers who were already smoking, and also to try and ensure that young people didn't take up smoking. But it seems to me that it's had the other effect has been that people are embracing it, whether they've been smokers or not. So is that the actual situation?
Unfortunately, it is. And I think we forgot our own whakapapa. And that the original goal was elimination of harm. Back in 2010, when the inquiry went into tobacco control, into the tobacco industry, Māori asked in particular that they protect us from the harm that tobacco industry does, and so they wanted elimination of harm. And here we are back in 2023, here in 2023, and we forgot our own whakapapa. That it was never about reducing harm, it was never about making sure that we're bringing in more products to addict our kids. It was about stop the bus. Stop addicting our people to products that are designed to keep us hooked. And that's what we've continued to do. Our kids are victims of all these products, and there's going to be more. We know that because, you know, we're a wonderful market to attract these type of products into our world. It's sold to us as an answer, but nobody asked us the question.
Yeah, well, I think it's actually very sad because, you know, once people do get hooked, if it's not cigarette smoking, if it's vaping, once people get hooked on that, then we do know, I don't care what people say, I actually believe that it is addictive. I actually believe that there will be downstream health effects. And so we're just moving another generation away from cigarettes to something else that probably will be, I'm not sure if it will be equally as harmful, but it certainly isn't going to do them any favours in terms of health.
Well, the thing is that if the measurement is, are they smoking tobacco, or is the measurement, as you say, about harm? And what is never measured is cultural harm. Who is protecting our whakapapa? Who is ensuring that we as signatories, New Zealand as signatories to UNROC, where was that applied to these products? The lens is too narrow, and that they're only looking at what's best for adults. We know that if you apply any solution to the lens of a child, it's going to be good for all of us.
That's true. That's very true. And but what I think, yeah, and I think you're onto something here, Catherine. When I think the cultural lens was never applied, and so if the cultural lens is never applied, then there's no consideration actually given to the harmful effects, and we know what they will be long term, and it will be intergenerational as well. And so this is something that really, unfortunately, we don't have the politicians that are even thinking in terms like that, do we? We don't have them.
Well, actually, what we don't have is when you look at any research or you look at anything that comes from a mainstream design, because what they may use our kupu, but they continue to use the system and the design not for us. And if you think about it, that where is cultural harm, cultural risk, cultural impact applied in these measures, it never is. And that's how we get here, is that they default to a space that isn't ours. They talk about we want to address inequities, but as designed by whom is the question.
Yes, yes. And was there a petition? I understand a petition was going to be presented today around vaping to one of the ministers in Wellington?
So this is the second lot of petition. As you know, you may or may not know, your callers, that last year the hashtags, New Amata hashtags, who are well known in this advocacy space, they're the rangatahi that have come out of Wainuiomata that have been advocating since 2017. And in fact, I sat behind them at the Māori Affairs Select Committee and the Health Select Committee, where they pleaded. They pleaded with the Select Committees to please do not let them inherit the legacy of vaping that we inherit. And it is since 2017, and they presented to a petition asking for the regulation and legislative protection that they needed last year. So this is the second petition that asks for the same thing. Last year's petition from the hashtag. Yeah, oh, sorry, Fire.
No, that's all right. So do you believe it's because of the tax take that the government gets off these products, that's because they've been so lukewarm in doing anything constructive to eliminate?
I don't believe there is excise tax applied to vape products. I'm not sure. I think there is. I'm not sure who their advisors are, where they're getting their. I think the question is, are we trying to get to 2025, or are we trying to eliminate harm as asked for in the inquiry for tobacco control, where Whai Tariana, Hune, you know, all those who were brave enough to say enough's enough. And I suspect what we're doing is trying to tick a box to achieve 2025 rather than do what was asked.
Yes, well, 2025 is just around the corner. You know, I mean, it's only a couple of years away. And so, and I do, I always thought at the time, Catherine, that that was a very audacious, target to try to be smoke-free by 2025.
It was doable. It absolutely was doable. But it required all of us to respond. So it wasn't just a government response. So for an example, iwi, I know Kahanunu did it. They declared their position around where Tupeka Kore sat for them. I know Ngāti Toa has done it, and other iwi have done. Now, if we look to our own people and we said, this is not our whakapapa, this is who we are, this is not our aspiration for our people, then we take ownership, and then we ensure that that voice goes to our political leaders to say, well, this is our vision for our people, therefore. But what happened was, after the goal was set, and then it took a life of its own, it ended up in non-Māori hands. And unfortunately, it has remained in that space. Because if you look at why the goal was set, it was Māori who took leadership.
Yes, yes. So yes, I remember that. Mm.
Yes. I mean, there was so, you know, I was a, I won't say young because I'm not young. I was new to the sector back there in 13 years ago, and I sat there in awe that brave conversation, fearless conversations were being had, that kōrero that we would have on the marae was being had in our parliamentary settings, and people were coming in droves saying, this is what we need, and we support you, government. We support you. But I think, and they set 42 recommendations back then, and government had responded and says, we're in. But then, you know, like all political cycles, we've had successive governments, and some have been brave and some haven't. And, you know, Minister Varela has, at least she put together a plan that we waited for 12 years. There was never a plan.
Who was that minister?
Dr. Aisha Varela, our current
minister. Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
She was the first one to design a plan, to say, yes, we are getting a plan. It is, I sat there, I think a few years ago when the smoke-free cars law came into play, when yes. they finally passed the legislation, and Dame Tariana fronted up to the hashtag kids and apologised to them for taking 10 years for a law that should have been a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because when you're thinking about it, smoking and vaping in cars, why would you while children? I mean, it was normal when we grew up. You know, it was just the thing that was done, but we know better now. But it took 10 years from the time when the goal was set to that law coming into play. And I think it says volumes about us as a society that we take things that are designed for our tamariki and our rangatahi and we take so long to make it happen when it actually could happen very fast.
That's it, yeah, that would be right. And Catherine, is the petition virtually a carbon copy of the first one, or are you highlighting other issues and making further recommendations in the second petition?
Now, this petition is from Vape Free Kids. So I'm a supporter and advocate of Vape Free Kids. So it's not my petition. I'm a health stylist in Aotearoa certainly is standing up and behind it. It is not a carbon copy, but it backs up the first one, which right. says we need your government to put some legislation around there to stop access by our kids. And saying that they're under 18 stores, saying that you're going to do close proximity. See, some of the language we use is unhelpful. When you say, okay, we're going to limit it to 300 metres within a school or a marae, what they're talking about is specialist vape retailers, which are not the same as general vape retailers, which is our dairies, our supermarkets, our petrol stations. Now, when you go out to the public arena, they don't know the difference between a general vape retailer and a specialist vape retailer. Our language is helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, when the announcement was made, it didn't cover dairy, supermarkets and petrol stations. No, they won't be touched at all.
Is it... You know, what would be the reaction if the government just said all vape products are, as of midnight on the 1st of October, no longer to be sold, manufactured or bought into the country or sold in New Zealand? There'll be a total ban on the sales. Is that not feasible? Couldn't the government just, because of the objections, because of the health, because of the cultural lens that wasn't applied in the past that's so important now, is that not something that actually could be done? I presume it could be done. Everything's doable. But would that be just a step too far for any government to entertain?
I don't know. I mean, they did it with psychoactive drugs. That, you know, that law was passed fairly quickly, wasn't it? You know, when they saw the harm that was being caused, people were dying in droves. They were, you know, the impact was huge. What must happen before our kids are protected would be the question. What would we lose in order for this, for the eyes to be turned to our tamariki and rangatahi and say, your value is greater than a product? And I think, you know, the tension in with the government and the health advocate that it is, they're trying to protect adults who are still smoking who haven't been able to find the right tool for them. So that's where I think the strong advocacy is saying we need to get people off tobacco. Well, we do. What are we gambling? You know, what are we losing in between time? And I think that's where the differences in our culture really steps in when we're looking about cultural harm, cultural risk, is that when we look at our tamariki and mokopuna, we look at them with a wider lens than just them as individuals. They're our future. They're our past. They're our future. They're our now. And so, therefore, they are critically important for the continuation of our whakapapa. So anything we do is about protecting our, I mean, as a nanny, I mean, they're our world. They're the reason our heart beats. So there was nothing we wouldn't do as nannies, you know, that when it comes to our mokapuna. We have to apply the same approach when we're looking at everybody else's mokapuna. And I don't know whether, because we run between two worlds, where people really get it.
Yeah, well, I think you might be right. I don't think they've ever looked at, extrapolated what it actually is, what it means, the long-term impact on the whakapapa, of course. And, I think, I just don't think that sometimes we think deep enough into this. We look at it on the surface, say, oh, yes, it's not good, blah, blah, blah. But actually, it's way more than that. It's way more than not good. And you've just articulated it very, very, very well. It is about the protection of our whakapapa.
Absolutely. And when this first came about, I first came into the space 13 years ago, as I said, and then when my mokapuna used to go to Howard College, and I, you know, and they ran because they knew I was in Awahi Kore and Tupika Kore space, and said, our kids have started vaping, what can we do? Well, they were the first college to have a vape-free policy in place. But a policy only says your intent. It has to have an action and a support that sits alongside it. So now we've got a whole range of people rushing into schools doing education, telling our rangatahi they mustn't do this. They didn't create it. But now they want our rangatahi to fix it. They are the victims and the inheritors of a decision made by adults.
And that applies in so many areas, doesn't it? And then we start to say, well, you know, well, why are they like this? Everything else like that. Well, why can't they just, change their behaviour? Well, first of all, nobody asked them in the first place. It was just made available.
Well, not just made available. It was dropped into their world, and then they were asked to manage it. Well, that's not what we do. That's not what we do as parents. That's not what we do as nannies. We have a higher responsibility to ensure that we're good kaitiaki of our whakapapa. And we're not being. We really are not being good kaitiaki of our whakapapa. It's easy for us to blame the government or blame the kids, but actually we're all individually or collectively responsible for making sure that our kids are protected.
Yes, yeah. No, that's very, very true. And if we don't do it, the young people themselves, well, they might not even know that they're vulnerable. They might not even care. I suspect that's probably because nobody's actually ever taught them this is what's at stake. And so if you don't tell anybody, then they'll continue on their merry way and the harm will continue to be done.
Well, we forget, you know, we go back when we were children, which that's a long time to be thinking about when that happened. But, you know, our job was to explore what was in the world. Our job was to, stretch the limits, but somebody had to set the limits. That's not happening. There is nobody setting the limits for products like this. And we're asking a lot of pediatric brains that we know are yet to form a rational decision-making process. So, you know, when we put it back on our kids, we're forgetting that we have a responsibility also to put those parameters in place, those safety nets in place, to ensure that when they make choices that may not be good for them, that there's somewhere for them to fall. There's nowhere for our kids to fall right now.
Yeah, well, this is going to be continue, I guess, Catherine, for some time, because nobody in the government certainly doesn't seem to be listening and isn't going to take any action. I don't believe so.
Well, No, well, right now we're sitting obviously in no man's land. That, you know, we're in the political cycle now.
Yeah.
But we've if you think about back in 2010, here we are 13 years later. What's that? Four political cycles.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when is the day?
Yeah.
What day when do we wait for somebody to say, well, actually, I'm going to put my hand up.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure this is going to be the platform for which I stand and make sure that we uphold what we signed up to in UNROC. We uphold what we signed up to when we, you know, when we signed all those declarations that said we will do no harm.
Mm.
And I remember WHO's first call for children was quite clear. Look, design policies, legislation, and everything we do through the lens of a child.
Yeah. Kia ora, because I think that's so right. And I think that's something for all of us to think about. And as we're coming up to an election, Catherine, we have to think about who has a vested interest in ensuring that our tamariki are well, that we can leave our children a legacy of vape-free children for New Zealand, for Aotearoa. Catherine, thank you so much for explaining everything this evening to us, for our Radio Waiata listeners. It's been very interesting and just food for thought for all of us.